The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The bubble genius, Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Hey, if you're into soap that features classical sculptures of naked guys with swimmers' physiques, look no further than BubbleGenius.com. It's Michelangelo's David's Soap. It's a big honkin' bar of green soap with a replica soap sculpture of David in fresh, icy water scent and weighing over 4 ounces. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code, that's Bob and Chez, BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yes, we think we solved your problem.
Which problem?
Marianne Coatsworth Hay of Marblehead. Hylan.
What?
I gotta make sure I don't laugh.
Oh, God.
It's a funny name to me, that's all. Just give me a second. Hang on. Okay. Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
I'm C.J. Craig. My assistant spoke to you on the phone.
Yes.
Mrs. Coatsworth, hey, I'm C.J. Craig. I'm the White House press secretary. This is Will Bailey, our deputy communications director, and this is Amelia Gardner, who's the first lady's chief of staff, and this is her first day, as a matter of fact. We're so happy that you were able to take the time to come over so we could talk this through.
I'm Marion Coatsworth, hey.
I was thinking of this thing that just happened. With the deficit!
Summer music!
Pow, pow, power!
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, May 26, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza.
Yo.
And I'm happy to announce the gecko is back. Smog the gecko. And I got a little kerfuffle playing the sounds at the top of the show there because he was literally about to jump onto my hand.
Oh,
yeah.
It's love.
It's so fun. It's a very, very friendly gecko. I've never seen anything like this. He's completely addicted to the orange slice, as usual.
It
just
it's all part of his plan. He'll kill you in your sleep.
We're brought to you by...
He's going to crawl down your throat.
All right. Well, it didn't take too long for you to go fully Eeyore.
Hello.
The gecko's going to destroy you, Bob.
No, see, Eeyore was just, like, sad and melancholy. I'm just angry and have given up.
I guess that was more Debbie Downer than Eeyore. Sorry. All right, we are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap and bath and body products in the universe. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Hey, look, if you're getting sued by Chuck C. Johnson, better call Bo. He's hands down the best lawyer I've ever had. The Bowen Law Group actually wants to answer your questions about legal things. This is exclusive for Bob and Chez Show listeners. Head on over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page and get easy answers, professional answers from Charles J. Bowen. Bowen Law Group. All right, let's see. Where do we start here? Oh, yeah, by the way, even though we're not going to be beating it to death today, you got to go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up to sponsor the show. $1, $5, $10, $15 a month, or even more if you're loaded. And it helps support the show. You get lots of great stuff, lots of exclusive sounds. Our post-mortem show, the after party, the uncensored, unbleeped version of this show.
Which basically turns it into an after party.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Also,
last week I spent about an hour and a half bleeping the show. So you get the show without all those bleeps and without all the commercial interruptions and all that happy crappy. Okay, so as I mentioned, Chuck C. Johnson was kind of the big news throughout the weekend, at least in our circles. And he finally went too far. We all know hack fraud Chuck Johnson from gotnews.com, the most hack fraud domain name ever in the history of hack fraud domain names. It makes perfect sense that it's run by a hack fraud. So Chuck Johnson, who likes to out alleged rape victims, who accused the Amtrak driver, the Amtrak engineer of driving too quickly because he was gay, because he was clearly on meth and having a dance party in the engineering room of the, is that what they call it? The engineering room? of the Amtrak train. I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know.
I have no idea. But yeah, Chuck Johnson is always wrong. If you follow us on the Daily Banter, if you follow Charles, good guy Charles Johnson at Little Green Footballs, you know a whole lot about Chuck C. Johnson. Well, finally, Twitter stepped up and has suspended permanently all of Chuck Johnson's accounts. Yeah. Very happy day. It was permanent. And I made the mistake of going on Twitter and saying, hey, you know, if it becomes permanent, the drinks are on me. So I now owe like 5,000 people free drinks. And I couldn't believe they did it. So let's
That's
actually
what he's going to say. He's going to sue you for that.
He's going to sue us.
He's going to sue you for a drink.
This whole show is one big lawsuit for him. Him and his rental lawyer. Hey, let's bring in our guest today. It's every time we have to talk about Chuck C. Johnson, we have to qualify it, whether it's at the Daily Banter or here on the show. We always have to say, not to be confused with good guy blogger Charles C. Johnson. Not to be confused with good guy blogger Charles Johnson, who's with us today on the show. Charles Johnson.
Hooray!
The Little
Green
Football. Hooray! There he is.
The sane one is here.
That's right. I mean, is that how you ended up discovering Chuck C. Johnson, because you guys have the similar name and you just wanted to make sure that people didn't confuse the both of you?
It kind of was that. I first heard of him when he was writing for Breitbart.com back during the 2012 election, you know, when they were doing their ridiculous The Vetting series where were supposedly, you know, digging up all the dirt in Barack Obama's past.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck wrote just a couple of absolutely ridiculous articles. One of them was about how they didn't have Barack Obama's college records. That was the point of the article. They didn't have them.
They didn't personally have them.
They didn't have them. And the other article that I covered at my blog was he had a picture that he thought might be Barack Obama with Bill Ayers, the famous right wing punching bag. And he wrote an article saying, I've now confirmed that this is not Bill Ayers with Barack Obama in this picture.
So, awesome.
He was vetting his pants.
Vetting his pants. That's right. I mean, every single one of his stories actually ends up like that. Like, oh, here it is. Big breaking news. And he's on Twitter. Breaking news. I've got all this information. And then he ends up having to backpedal. Because why, Chez? Why?
Because he's always wrong.
That's exactly
right. And then he puts up tweets that say, you know, I like my batting average. Dude, you're batting average is fucking zero.
It doesn't exist.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God. So this leads us to, well, I mean, we know all of the different stories in between. I mean, the one that was one of the most outrageous stories that came up, at least in my coverage of Chuck Johnson, which is basically my coverage of your coverage, Charles, of Chuck Johnson, which is the one in which he just gleefully posted this article about, and I forget her name, I think she's a State Department spokesperson, who, like, when she was 16 years old, had toxic shock syndrome from a tampon.
Mary Harf,
yeah. And he posted this article, like this tee-hee tittering article, like, oh my God, Mary Harf had toxic shock syndrome, amazingly, from a tampon. Huh? How could that possibly be? This was a news article at gotnews.com. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, and it was so incredibly sleazy too, because she almost died from it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, making fun of her for that is just like the bottom of the barrel.
Sure.
You can't really blame Chuck for that though, because anything having to do with the inner workings of a female vagina is completely alien to him.
It's a mystery. No, yeah. He's still trying to figure it out, I think. maybe one of these days he'll actually, you know, have some experience to figure it out with. Mm.
So this weekend, I guess DeRay McKesson, who's a civil rights activist, was on CNN, and he was talking about CNN's coverage of the Duggars versus the coverage, you know, the nuanced coverage of the Duggars versus the knee-jerk coverage of things like Ferguson and so forth, and Staten Island and Baltimore and all these things. The coverage was very, very different between these two things, between like a child molester and a guy, an innocent guy who gets shot in the back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so, what did Chuck Johnson do in response to this?
Well, Chuck got on the Twitter and said he posted a message saying, You can donate to my GoFundMe account to take out DeRay McKesson, basically.
Yeah, to take out, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Help me take out DeRay McKesson by giving me money.
Exactly.
And then after that, he posted another one and said, with $500, I can hunt down anyone.
God!
Yeah.
What? I mean, this is a characteristic of this guy that continues to baffle me, which is his complete and utter tone deafness. Like, he doesn't understand what he's saying. He's the least self-aware person I've known, at least publicly.
Yeah, it's kind of – I'm not sure it's really unself-aware. I actually think he might be trying to incite people to harm you know, his targets, you know, in his own way. You know, he may not actually intend physical violence, but, you know – look at the kind of people who follow him.
Yeah.
Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, you know, friendly types.
He knows his audience. He knows exactly the right words to use. I actually think he is socially awkward, but barring that, you know, irrespective of that, he's still someone who knows the right kind of language to use with the people who are giving him money. Because the whole damn thing is a grift. It's all about, you know, it's always, we've talked about this so many times, where basically Chuck Johnson's tweets are like, give me money to do my job.
That's
or give me money to do my – you guys are going to do my job for me.
Do my job for me.
Hunt down information and send it to me and send me money and then I'll just basically write whatever. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's just – you know, you want me to take somebody down? You want me to say something horrible about somebody on the internet and it'll have some reach? Send me some money and I'll say whatever the hell you want.
Do you think it's because – I mean, here we are. I think much older than Chuck Johnson. Do you think it's a generational thing? Do you think it's one of these deals where he's really into disruption? And we look at disruption, which is legitimate, I think, in some circles of Chuck Johnson's generation, which is completely illegitimate in our generation. And there's just a big generation gap. Or is it just that he's a great big f**k?
You know, I would go for the latter myself. he's, you know, in the New York Observer interview that he did a few days ago, He said something that was pretty revealing. He said, you know, the interviewer asked him, you know, you've been upfront about your autism. You know, how do you think that affects what you do? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I've been told that I have high IQ and low empathy. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, I see, low empathy. Well, it's actually more like zero empathy.
Zero empathy, yeah.
He basically – if he sees you as an enemy, he'll do almost anything to try to harm you.
High IQ and low empathy are usually characteristics of a sociopath.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's also he lacks that sense of what is newsworthy. He doesn't
absolutely.
Have that, that
yeah,
piece
above
in his
and
brain.
Beyond, above and beyond the moral question of what's right and wrong, he has absolutely no idea what's news.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely not. And so, I mean, you know, the reason, again, you know, people are listening to the show and going, well, he's not on Fox News Channel. He's not on AM Talk Radio. Who is this guy? Chuck C. Johnson. Well, you know what? He's actively taking out that's his phrase. Go. He's actively taking out innocent people. And it was that way with the Amtrak engineer, where this guy was smearing the Amtrak engineer before anyone had any information as to whether or not he was even to blame for that derailment.
Oh, and yeah, exactly. He started out by, you know, assuming that he was probably black.
Yeah.
And was ready to start smearing him because he was black. And, you know, black people, according to Chuck, are less intelligent and,
right.
you know, more prone to violence.
Plus affirmative action.
Yeah. Right. That was one of his lines. He was probably one of Amtrak's affirmative action hires and, you know, probably less intelligent as a result.
And so,
you know.
I mean, when that went away, when that failed to actually be true, then he jumped on the gay thing, which meant, well, because gay people have a high rate of mental illness and meth usage, clearly this guy is like a crazy person, hepped up on meth, and he's having a gay dance party on the train.
Right.
And which, you know, again, they hadn't even cleaned up the derailment at that point. The guy, the actual engineer, was still out of it in the hospital. And there's Chuck C. Johnson in a public forum smearing what could potentially be an innocent man. So
well,
that
he's doing it again today, as a matter of fact. One of the posts on his site right now is outing the woman who wrote a piece for Jezebel.com as an anonymous writer. She wrote about how she had been assaulted by this guy who is now who has been accused by Emma Salkowicz at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to out the woman who wrote that anonymous piece. And what he did was he found four women that he thinks might be the woman who wrote it. And he published all four names and said, I think it's probably one of these four people.
So, my God.
If it is one of those four people, at the very least, what he did is he published the names of three people who have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Oh, my God. That is staggering. And, you know, people wonder why. Well, why, oh, why was he banned from Twitter? And it's this kind of crap. It's not just the threats. It's actually smearing innocent people. It's basically, it's libel. And for someone as litigious as Chuck C. Johnson, and he threatens to sue everybody, by the way.
Everybody, pretty much everybody, yeah.
You know, he's just, it's so funny because he's engaged in it.
He's threatened me, I think, three or four times now.
God, it's like a badge of honor. Do you have them framed on your wall?
They're at charlescjohnson.info. Is actually where they're keeping track of all of his lawsuit threats.
So his Chuck C. Johnson Twitter handle was suspended permanently, and then he started up what? He started up a second one, which was Free Chuck Now.
That was actually the third one. He started one before that called what was it called? Something with trolling.
Citizen trolling.
Citizen trolling.
Oh, my God. Because that's ultimately what he is he's a troll. He's
right. And that one got blocked almost immediately. then he started the other one, the Free Chuck Now account. That one went a little bit longer. They took a little bit longer to block it. But I think he's now on a watch list at Twitter because they went through and they even blocked his gotnews.com account.
Oh, my God. That is beautiful. So. Twitter finally stepping up and doing something about this crapola. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. That's
seriously going to screw him too. I mean, that really is, because if Got News as a website keeps going, the only way that he can advertise what he's putting up, you know, directly that will have a direct impact on the number of people seeing his site is at Twitter.
That's
all there is to. Until the next social networking platform comes out and becomes massive, Twitter is all he's got. And he's done.
One of the things he said with his Free Chuck Now account was that he was starting up his own service like Twitter. So any day now, he'll be able to have his own service and everyone will go there instead of Twitter, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. It won't be called Twitter. It'll be called Twitter.
Actually, somebody had a great joke, you know, that it'll be called shitter, you know, referring to the old pooping on the floor stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck C. Johnson allegedly pooped on the floor when he was in college. And we like reminding people of that at every turn. So now, of course, Twitter, he's completely on Twitter's radar now because he's got this guy, this lawyer from the Burns Law Firm.
Yeah.
And he's got this guy sending Twitter like reinstatement threats.
Who is, by the way, also associated with the infamous James O'Keefe.
Oh, great.
And was probably involved with that stunt that James O'Keefe tried to pull on the CNN reporter, luring her onto a boat filled with sex toys.
I remember that very well. Yeah.
So that's who his lawyer is.
Yeah. It's so funny to see all. I'm reading the letter here at littlegreenfootballs.com and it's so funny to see all this legalese and all these threats and then to see his stupid fucking Twitter handles listed there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he signed the lawyer letter with a blue Sharpie to add that extra tinge of professionalism.
I noticed that, the blue Sharpie. Oh my God. And they're also, this is the important part, they're demanding that Twitter preserve all of Chuck C. Johnson's tweets and photos.
Yes,
and videos absolutely. And everything, so they don't so then delete the content of his Twitter feed that is now inaccessible. Right. And again, he's permanently banned, or at least these usernames are permanently restricted now, right?
I mean, that's what he posted actually a screenshot of the email that he got from Twitter, and it said this account will not be restored.
Oh my God, that is wonderful news. I think that is the best news in a long time. Finally, the bad guy loses for a change.
I know, it's too rare, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And especially on Twitter, where too many people get away with crap that just makes your eyes bleed. That just ruins the whole platform.
Chuck actually got away with a whole lot. I mean, he actually stalked me in real life. He hunted down the address of an apartment where I used to live years ago. And he thought I was still living there and posted pictures of himself standing outside the apartment building on Twitter.
Oh, God.
And when I complained, you know, I filed a report with Twitter about that, obviously. I mean, it's kind of freaky and scary when people do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I got a reply from them basically saying that they weren't going to do anything about it because it wasn't violating their terms of service. But it absolutely did violate their terms of service. Yeah. So.
You know, Simon Owens wrote something for us at Banter today that he made a really, really good point. You know, when people are afraid to go after you or are afraid to, you know, the you in this case being Chuck Johnson, when people are afraid to go after you because they're afraid of or afraid of saying anything for that matter that Chuck Johnson disapproves of because of the threat he poses to them physically through his followers or through, you know, he himself, like you said, he stalked you, or just the fact that he can dox you, that really, you know, it's not hyperbole to call that terrorism.
That's exactly what it is.
So, you know, but he kind of miscalculated with me because he thought he was going to scare me out of criticizing him. And, it just didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we did at the Daily Banter when he sent his photographer after us because we used his photos on our articles there, is we just changed all the photos to just like a turd with an American flag sticking out of it.
I saw that. That made me laugh.
He just walks right into it. Charles Johnson, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it. Good luck with and continued success at Little Green Footballs. It is one of the first sites I look at every single damn morning. You're doing great, great work.
And you're very welcome.
And as I've said for a long time, a lot of the smartest people I know on the left used to be conservative. I used to be conservative. You used to be conservative. My radio wife, Stephanie Miller, used to be a conservative. Chez has conservative leanings here and there. I think it gives us a little more insight, and we kind of have a better understanding of what's going on the other side of the aisle.
We've looked at life from both sides now.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. Thanks, so, Johnny. And also, you're running a GoFundMe right now at
I am. If anyone would like to donate to help me keep fighting back against people like Chuck Johnson, because he's not the only one out there, it's a GoFundMe.com/green_footballs.
Charles, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You're welcome. It was a guest.
Take care. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with more show right after this.
I always wanted to be an internet journalist, but I kept failing. Then I learned how to abandon my integrity and sense of good judgment, and now I'm a real internet journalist. Thanks to the Chuck C. Johnson School of Hack Fraud Journalism!
That's right. At the Chuck C. Johnson School of Hack Fraud Journalism, you'll attend a series of informative courses based on the hack fraud journalism techniques perfected by hack fraud conservative blogger Chuck C. Johnson.
The Chuck C. Johnson School of Hack Fraud Journalism taught me how to publicly expose the names of rape victims.
I used to be a thoughtful writer who cared about accuracy. After attending the Chuck C. Johnson School of Hack Fraud Journalism, I'm a reckless asshole.
Accuracy in the mouth.
Enroll today and begin attending one of our many hack fraud journalism courses, such as The Facts 101, It's Good to Be Wrong All the Time, How to Get Your Readers to Pay You to Do Your Reporting for You, Doxing the Innocent, Slut Shaming the Innocent, Race Baiting and Gay Shaming is Totally Newsworthy, When in Doubt, Sue Everyone, Chuck C. Johnson is a c**k, and so can you, Blurting Stupid c**k on Twitter, Clickbait is the Only Thing, Bio 10, You Know What's Funny? Toxic Shock Syndrome, Disruption Dunction, and Toilet Habits 100. Go ahead and f*** on that floor.
I f***ed all over the f***ing floor, just like Chuck C. Johnson.
I'm f***ing on the floor right now.
Tomorrow, I'm suing littlegreenfootballs.com for saying mean things about me on Twitter.
I'm suing a dead baby for libel. And is grieving inconsolable parents.
Right you are. Enroll today at the Chuck C. Johnson School of Hack Fraud Journalism. And for 10 easy tuition payments of $400,000, you too can learn from the master of hack fraud journalism, Chuck C. Johnson. Call 1-800-HACK-FRAUD and leave off the last D for d**khead. Hack Fraud Chuck C. Johnson is not to be confused with good guy blogger Charles Johnson.
Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Summer music. Pow, pow, power.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us this week on a Tuesday.
You hit the post, man.
I did it once in a while, man.
No, you just got to make your voice sound real rival. There you go.
Hey, everybody, it's 35 minutes after 12, 25 till 1. Chez of Thunder Boomers this afternoon. A little bit of preset. Maybe on the after party one of these days we'll have to do like a talk up competition where we play songs and talk them up.
I couldn't do that. We better not be drunk for it. We should actually though do an entire show that's nothing but a bad morning zoo show. The entire thing and not really explain it beyond that.
Yeah, that's right. Why not?
Don't tell anybody that we're doing. Oh, I just did, but.
Well, when you least expect it, if we get on the show and we start talking like hot rocking DJs, everybody. Then you know it's there's trouble. You know, maybe you skip to the next show. Is what you do. Okay, lots more to talk about. And again, thank God Chuck C. Johnson is out of the way. For now.
Yeah, it's outrageous that we have to give him any sort of coverage.
Yeah.
And it is infuriating, but we've had this discussion so many times about you know, if you just let these people go, it doesn't, you know, it's not good. It's not a good thing to just ignore them.
Well, that's, I mean,
you
here's
know,
a great
you've
example.
You've got to bring it up. You've got to sort of hit back. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, normally you look at something like the battle between Charles Johnson and Chuck Johnson, and you would think that it was, you know, the usual internet drama. And it's not. It's like Charles Johnson really was doing yeoman's work, and it was kind of essential that he used his position on Twitter to beat the crap out of Chuck Johnson's.
Yeah.
And you know the guy can take a victory lap today.
I mean, if it hadn't been for Charles Johnson and some of the other guys on Twitter just constantly dogging Chuck C. Johnson, the guy'd still be on Twitter, smearing innocent people, outing innocent Amtrak engineers or outing alleged rape victims and revealing their names and so on, that would still be going on right now. So this is actually kind of a great example, as you said, of actually paying attention to these guys and how that functions to smear them, marginalize them, and in some cases entirely get them out of the way.
My favorite thing about this, and you know, this isn't some great insight, but which by the way you should expect from me by now, but the idea that Chuck Johnson is threatening to sue because Twitter won't allow him on, like his rights were somehow violated. You know what? It's a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Exactly.
It's not the government suppressing your speech.
That's right. There's nothing in the Constitution or in the First Amendment that says anything about, you know, Twitter not infringing upon your free speech. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
I mean, I'm, you know, again, quoting the Simon Owens piece from today, which as usual, you know, Simon is very insightful.
Yep.
You know, I appreciated what he said about how even though it's not censorship in the traditional sense, there is something to be said for the fact that these social media platforms really do, they're used by so many people and they have so much sway that, yeah, you can actually make the argument that not being on hurts your, like if you're running a business or something like that, but you still, you don't get to sue. I mean, you can sue, but you shouldn't get to successfully sue Twitter because you're saying asshole stuff and you got kicked off for it.
That's right. A judge is
so
just going to laugh at that.
This will go nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, the Twitter people are just laughing at that letter from his lawyer. A judge is going to laugh at this right out of court. You know, it just goes to show. I mean, the guy has no barometer of what's the difference between reality and his complete fantasy. Just has no idea. All right. right, so we're going to move on here to, we're going to talk some Duggars.
Boy.
So we've got a Duggar update, and I, you know what, it's horrible. It's horrible what happened to those four girls and the babysitter. And,
it is, but you know what? Terrible, nobody seems to give a crap about that on the Duggar side.
No, least of all, like Mike Huckabee. Mike yeah. Huckabee, who just so totally soft pedaled this on Facebook. Like, yeah, like all the right-wing people, Sarah Palin and the others, just like they're putting out their official statements just on Facebook, like in all lowercase letters. Just absurd, these people. So Mike Huckabee said that that it was just a mistake. It was an innocent mistake. They're good people. It was just a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes.
Not an innocent mistake.
It's stupid.
It's what happened was symptomatic of everything about their lifestyle. Everything wrong with their lifestyle was right there.
Yeah.
You know, that it's what their views on sex, their views on religion, their views on patriarchy, that's what represented. That was this was a perfect representation of all of that. This is what you get when you believe that kind of shit.
Did you hear Josh Duggar's incest joke?
No, I didn't. I heard of it, meaning I know he made one.
I think this was maybe from the 19 Kids and Counting show. Here it is.
Ginger was chosen as our chaperone, and then she had to be pulled off because the movie we were going to see had to be...
That's, by the way, that's Ginger with a J.
Oh, yeah, I know, because all their names have to begin with J.
Over 18. It was a preview screening of a good movie, and anyway, that's the reason why Ginger was not our chaperone. So... we chose Jane and John David. We thought, why not have a double date? Arkansas. We are from Arkansas. No.
Yeah, that's wow. So funny. We are from Arkansas, where everyone's incestuous.
Actually, that's shockingly self-aware.
Catching my sister in her vagina.
My favorite thing about the story, and I'm going to go ahead and mention this again, I'm really surprised that more people aren't sort of harping on this one. That you know, I saw that. Gawker went back, somebody from, I think it was Allie Jones from Gawker, from one of the Gawkers. I think she was working for Defamer. But she went back and found a cached version of Jim Bob's, you know, like Q&A on his website that he had up when he was running for Senate in 2002 for the U.S. Senate. And a lot of people obviously are pointing out that he says right there, you know, incest, the worst crime ever, and killed and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to be, I mean, I hear, they're kind of talking about it tangentially, but nobody's really harping on the fact that when Jim Bob found out that, you know, supposedly Josh, from one of his daughters, I think, that Josh had tried to molest somebody or had molested somebody. That was right at the time that he was right at the sort of tail end of his Senate campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got this thing up, you know, that says incest is horrible. And yet he doesn't do anything about finding out that his son may have tried to touch his daughter or tried to touch his daughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, man. Like, there it is right there. Nothing that they did had anything to do – nothing that they did in this case had anything to do with religion. It had everything to do with self-interest. It had everything to do, in my opinion – it's just an opinion – with not blowing his Senate campaign out of the water right before, you know, making sure that was never exposed 2 months before the election.
That's right. Here's the here's his quote, by the way, from his Senate website. Rape and incest represent heinous crimes and as such should be treated as capital crimes.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean punishable by death.
Yeah. And this was for his Senate campaign, 2002. The Senate primary he was running against Tim Hutchinson was in May, May 23rd, I remember the date, of 2002. And he supposedly, according to the police report, the 2006 police report, he supposedly found out for the first time that Josh was diddling children in March of 2002.
You know, I really hope, and I don't usually condone these types of people, the paparazzi and so forth, but I hope there's someone from TMZ just dogging Josh Duggar and just making f***ing sure that he's not going around buying a pie or he's not allowed to buy a pie from anyone. in Arkansas or elsewhere. that pie owners are saying, Josh Duggar, we're not going to serve you because we don't condone.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? Just Josh Duggar stepping out of like a bakery empty handed with
that's a great idea for a story.
A sad face on his.
You know. No, I mean not even. You know what? It's not even a pie. It could be any business.
Oh yeah.
Just walk in there afterwards and go, hey, you know, you just served an admitted child molester. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's right. First of all, how do you feel about would you actually provide flowers or a cake to same-sex marriage? That would be the first question. The second question is, Well, why did you just sell flowers to that admitted sexual offender?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Guy who sexually molested, sometimes while they were sleeping, his younger sisters, and as the police report goes, some very young sisters.
Yeah.
The youngest of the young sisters.
Sure, the most vulnerable.
And then, of course, the shop owner would go, I don't know. Just completely kerfuffle.
No. The shop owner would sound like Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Yeah. Get up in there, John Molester there, and I'll tell you what.
Well, because we had our very special guest, I just decided to blow right on past our bottom of the hour break. Well, we're going to take our last break of the show and come back, and we've got... A special commercial that I think you'll enjoy. This is a fun commercial, not a real commercial. Plus, we've got an election 2016 update. We're going to talk about the candidates entering the clown car, more Huckabee, and lots of other fun things coming up right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius, Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Dan Bedondi. Got some new Dan Bedondi audio coming up on Thursday. Nobody on the road. So I was just noticing here on Twitter the other day, whatever day was the 24th, I tweeted, if Chuck C. Johnson is ever permanently blacklisted by Twitter, the drinks are on me. And I just noticed that... Lee Stranahan retweeted it as well. Breitbart's Lee Stranahan.
Oh, good. Again, he's going to sue you to make sure that you do that. He's going to sue you to ensure that you pay up on that. And if not, he's going to contact Twitter and say that you lied on Twitter.
That's right. That I misrepresented myself. That I owe everyone on Twitter drinks.
Yeah.
That you know what? That wouldn't shock me. That's actually really good. He would actually do that. That's what these people do.
Stranahan?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, totally.
This is what we've said before. Twitter has become this subculture of litigious, knee-jerk idiots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everyone's just like, you said something mean. I'm going to sue you.
This is why, I'll be very honest. You've seen me. Mm-hmm. I have what? I have under 3,000 followers. Yeah. You know why? I'm never on Twitter.
You're never there.
I put stuff up on Twitter that, you know, I link to my pieces. Once in a while, I will retweet somebody or I'll send off a comment to somebody or whatever. I do not do a lot of interacting on Twitter.
Well, I'm on there all the time. And some days are better than others, that's for sure. All right. So, you know, I spent a lot of time over the three-day weekend. For some reason, this just kept popping into my head.
A ground and pound beast mode monster in your face, one ass kicking maniac.
Dan Bedondi's WWE Tough Enough Challenge. what he's talking about is his abilities as a ground and pound beef smoking monster.
I want to see. I want to see him and Chuck Johnson fight it out.
Well, I decided to throw this together.
Fight it out for douchebag supremacy.
And just, you know what, Dan Bedondi, if you're listening, this idea, it's all yours. Run with it.
Bionic Dan Bedondi here from Bionic Dan Bedondi's Bionic Italian Deli. With locations from pretty much everywhere in the Providence, Rhode Island region area. Bionic Dan Bedondi's Bionic Italian Deli has everything you need from a deli. This week's specials are totally retarded. I didn't mean to use that word. I apologize. And God bless those mental kids and all. This week's 6-foot, 290-pound submission specials are: is your stomach tough enough for 1 pound, a ground and pound ground round for $3.99 a pound? But wait, there's more dings. Stop into Bionic Dan Bedondi's Bionic Italian Deli for a fresh smoke beef smoking monster. Double coupon special, $1.49 per pound. I carved it myself with our Bionic Beef Smoking Monster Beef Slicer. Chipped or thick sliced. Your choice, because the Constitution says you have the liberty and it shall not be infringed in all of those dings. Plus, we are waging war against the New World Order because the people think. But wait, there's still more dings. This weekend only, we will bring the meat to anyone. That's right, we deliver, folks. And you know, I'm sick of all the crap. I gotta drive around to all these places and do all these things. I'm just sick. Bring the kids down to our Newport, Rhode Island store to dispense their choices of soup from our Bionic Dan Bedondi's Suplex Soupplex machine. 6 varieties of fresh hot soup to choose from. But don't burn your hands, because that soup comes out very, very hot, okay, folks? And, so get all your deli meats at Bionic Dan Bedondi's Italian Bionic Deli, because Bionic Dan Bedondi's Bionic Italian Delicatessen. Bionic Dan Bedondi's Bionic Italian Delicatessen is great.
I would totally eat there. I would absolutely eat there. I'd eat there every f***ing day of my life.
You know what?
You're right, though. You're right. Yeah. That's where he belongs. Yeah. I could see him. Like, he'd be the coolest guy running a deli ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you go in there
just to hang out with him.
He's got a crazy conspiracy theory there as he's slicing off some gabagoo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some prosciutto and some gabagoo.
Yep. In-N-Out Burgers. In-N-Out puts... John 3:16, just that. I think it's John 3:16 on like the bottoms of the cups.
Yeah,
very unobtrusive. Dan would have like some batshit crazy conspiracy theory written on like the deli paper he wraps everything with. You know, the Illuminati and the New World Order, and
yeah,
I made a covenant.
I made a covenant to pursue the New World Order and the globalists. We're at war with the New World Order. And another thing, that the dove was attacked by the crow and the seagull. And the seagull represents the UN, and the crow represents evil. And the dove represents the dove.
He has a sandwich that's dove, crow, and seagull meat.
They're all fighting it out in a slice of focaccia bread. It's delicious. Come on down. Do you want yellow mustard or golden?
I'll have golden mustard on my seagull, crow, and dove sandwich, Dan.
Golden's the color of the Mason symbol. Freemasons, I ain't got that.
I think we should switch to the gold standard again.
Exactly, collecting gold. He's got a fucking sandwich called the gold standard.
The gold standard. I just heard like ground and pound, and I was hearing beef smoking monster. I was like, it sounds like something they'd have at a deli. Oh, Dan Bedondi's deli meats.
You should absolutely do that. He should go get a loan for that immediately. And I would pay any amount of money to like sit there and watch his conversation with the loan officer.
He'd have like the just pitching the loan officer the suplex super machine.
Exactly. it is Providence. The guy, you know, the loan officer would probably be just as insane as he is.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's a great idea, Dan. Fantastic. You're going to serve conspiratorial deli meats?
Yeah, that's what I'll do. And people will serve their own soup, and it'll be called the Suplex Soup Machine.
The Suplex Soupplex.
That's great. Then sometimes I'll deliver the meats right to them. But I got to drive around all these dings and do all these dings. I'm sick. Sick of all the crap.
He drives around, and while he's driving around, he does the he does his podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go. Hey, it's Dan Badani for with the Truth Radio Show. I'm delivering a pound of provolone across town in Providence, Rhode Island. But first, I'm going to tell you about the Illuminati.
Dan.
He is a giant bottomless well of entertainment.
I know. Boy, but I had a great time putting that commercial together. The dumbest thing I think we've ever played on this show, right there. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's do this. Okay, we've got some new presidential candidates that are going to announce this week. Get ready for the excitement. Your adrenaline is going to be on fire.
Thrill a minute.
On Wednesday, that's tomorrow, former Senator Rick Santorum, he of the slippery discharge. the viscous discharge. It's the same thing. The last Republican standing against Mitt Romney in 2012 is expected to announce he's running during an event in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yay, Butler. That's perfect.
Butler.
Butler.
I hardly know her. Right? Butler, Pennsylvania. Home of the viscous discharge. Also, former New York Governor George Pataki will launch a long shot bid on Thursday. The New York Post reported.
Wait. A long shot bid?
Yeah.
He's the one who's launched the one. Pataki's the one guy who's launching a long shot bid.
That's right.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah,
as if all of these aren't long shot bids.
The governor of one of the most populous states in the union, former governor, is actually the long shot.
Right. As Dr. Ben Carson is not a long shot.
Yeah. Ben Carson's got a real chance as opposed to George Pataki. But no.
It's one more clown in the car.
Yeah. Instead, it's gotta be Ben Carson.
I'm already going to sleep.
Did someone say
name, that's it.
Ben Carson? Well, hello. And good day. I'm presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson. Gonna tell you a few things about the national debt. It has tripled since. Oh, what are we doing? Are we still doing this? Is the show still on? I just totally nodded off during that impression. Yeah, Dr. Ben Carson injected his sleeping gas into my studio here and just fell asleep.
Dr.
There.
Ben Sandman Carson.
I am the sleeper. Whenever I talk, people sleep. Today, I have a few things to say about redistricting. Or is it reapportionment? Let's think about that for a second.
Just electrifying. The most electrifying man in national politics.
Sleep-inducing. Okay, so also Democrat Governor Martin O'Malley.
Who?
Governor Martin O'Malley.
Governor Martin O'Malley will proceed to he'll make his announcement at a pub in South Boston, where afterwards he'll promptly get into a fight.
He'll make an announcement in front of three people who will all go, "Who the hell are you? Why are you talking?" It's Governor Martin O'Malley of Maryland. He'll officially jump into the race on Saturday in Baltimore, Maryland.
Thank God.
Also, Senator Bernie Sanders, who's already announced his 2016 candidacy, officially kicks off his campaign today in Burlington, Vermont.
Yep.
In front of
a whole lot of people in Birkenstock sandals driving Subarus.
Can you feel the pulse-pounding excitement yet of election 2016? It's amazing. Okay. Moving along here. Speaking of Dr. Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee just repeated the same thing Ben Carson said a while back about something called judicial law. But of course, Huckabee used a different phrase. He used the words judicial supremacy to describe the idea that the courts are making laws, and also he added the extra layer of enforcing them. Because as you know, the courts all have their very own Justice Department that is capable of enforcing all of these judicial laws. Just insane, these people. Now, what this is,
it's a kind of coup.
Yeah,
it really is. It's this idea that our government works the way you, crazy person sitting out there in Tea Party land, way you think it should be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Yeah, no. What this is basically Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, adopting some of the ideas that we hear on the far, far, far extremes of the far right. And that's like from guys like Brian Fisher and some of these other like Focus on the Family weirdos and things like that. They're saying that state-level governors, in fact, should just ignore what's happening in the courts with regards to same-sex marriage and just plow forward either with executive orders or the Republican stack state legislature, pass more laws and the governors sign them to just nullify any of these court rulings, to just ignore them. And that's really what it is nullification.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
Yeah. But
you can't do that when the courts, and especially when the Supreme Court speaks, you're done.
Right.
That's it.
But now that these guys, now that the mainstream of the GOP has picked up on these far right ideas, they're softening the ground for it to be acceptable, for this to be something that, oh, well, I guess because these legitimate presidential candidates are saying it, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's like again, pandering to the ignoramus base that doesn't know any better. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I think that the judiciary is judicial tyranny. I think the judiciary is trying to tell us what to do. And I don't think the governor or the president or the Congress or the legislature should pay attention to what they're saying. Because all them gay homos are going to get married. Not over my dead body.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what it is it's embracing, you know, I remember hearing a long time ago, somebody did a really good sort of in-depth story on the bombing of the Murrow Building in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they did sort of like a background of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. And they had audio of Nichols standing in front of a court, standing in front of a judge. And I think he had like a crude credit card debt or something like that. He's being sued. I apologize if I get the story wrong. But basically, he had decided that through his own genius, this eureka moment, that he didn't actually owe money because credit wasn't real money. Mm-hmm. And you could just see the wheels turning as he was telling he really thought he'd hit on to something. He really thought, you know, his brilliance, he'd come up with some kind of massive loophole that the court wouldn't be able to get through. And I remember hearing him mention this, to tell this to the judge. And the judge's response was seriously like, "Fuck you. Like, just stop. No, sorry, sir. It doesn't work that way." And every time I hear something like a Mike Huckabee embracing an insane theory of how government works, mm-hmm. I just think of that. I think of this is the kind of thinking that Terry Nichols did, this kind of splitting of hairs that somehow made him believe that he, you know, that it wasn't money that he owed and it was just credit or whatever. It's just – it's dipshit thinking.
Yeah, it really is.
It's dipshit fringe thinking.
That's what Dan Bondi does. Every time they send him out, like Alex Jones sends him out to like infiltrate some office building or an airport or something. And what he does is he pulls out his copy of the Constitution. And he says, "Where in the Constitution does it say I can't walk right in here, walk through the security line, and talk to anybody I want? I'm depressing. Here's the Constitution."
That's it. Well, that's it exactly.
No, it doesn't work that way, Dan. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you hit it right on the head. It's this sort of this sort of bending of the way they believe the government should work to their own will. And it just does not work. It doesn't legitimately work that way.
Yeah.
You know, for how many years now? Is it 200 years? We've had this is the way our government works.
Yep.
You know, Mike Huckabee, just because a bunch of fringe lunatics think this, Mike Huckabee doesn't get to come out now and say, nah, you know what? Nobody should honor the rulings of the Supreme Court or the courts of justice. No. Like, well, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but it's you know what? It's not just Mike Huckabee, though. I think this is coming from – I think this is more of a broader tactic that the conservative movement is engaging in right now as a last-ditch, knee-jerk effort, a desperate effort – to get around the legalization of same-sex marriage. They've been doing it with abortion for years now by creating all of these little nitpicky laws that make it really difficult to have an abortion without outright banning it. So that's what they're doing now. They're figuring out little ways to shave the corners off of the law, to find little loopholes that they can wiggle through.
You're right.
And keep it illegal. And they said, well, this is now what they're doing is they're arming the drooling masses locked down in the conservative entertainment complex with this ridiculous talking point that the executive does not have, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level, that the executive doesn't have to pay attention to what the judicial branch has to say. And that is insane. This is completely
creating this narrative that is absolute nonsense.
Yeah. But of course, the slack-jawed yokels will all buy into it.
Oh yeah, that's right, exactly right. You tell them, Mike Huckabee.
The first governor that tries to do that just going to precipitate a major constitutional crisis, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level.
But I don't think they care anymore. That's the problem. The Constitution is what they want it to be. Period.
Yes, it's really, really bad. It's really bad. It's
the same sort of thing. My opinion, and I swear to God, I'm not being Eeyore here. I'm like, I look at this kind of crap, and I'm just like, we failed. We failed. Our experiment in democracy is a failure.
That's right.
The idea that there are people out there who can legitimately, and again, I tie everything back to media. This goes back to me to the idea that there is now this sort of media apparatus that says this is the way things really are when it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, they've created they've created a false reality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about how pervasive this nonsense is. I mean, Mark Halperin was on Morning Joe this morning, actually backstopping Mike Huckabee about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Mark Halperin said on Morning Joe, on MSNBC, quote, he's not totally wrong, Mike Huckabee. I applaud him. Regardless of his ideological positions, I applaud him for pointing out that if people want to change something that the Supreme Court does, there is a political way to do it. And that is the really nice way of saying, yeah, sure. Yeah, the president or a governor can just totally ignore the courts. And it's being shoved into the mainstream through clever politics, which is what Mike Huckabee is doing.
Yeah.
And then backstop by very serious people like Mark Douchebag Halperin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is one of those occasions where I'm right there with you. I'm usually a little more hopeful about the status of our democracy, but I'm going to join in right with you.
Hello.
Welcome to my side. You know, it's nice over here. It's nice. Losing all hope was freedom, as they say in Fight Club.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start playing this for myself.
Why, hello, Eeyore.
Hello. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Please support the show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We're just over about $1,300. We still have a long, long way to go before you get daily shows. But in the meantime, lots of good stuff waiting for you if you sign up and sponsor the show at Patreon. Just $1 for every listener. We're well over our goal. That's all we need. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye.